Harper Audio presents Splendor, a luxe novel by Anna Godberson, performed by Nina Shamoshko.
Prologue. 50 years ago, every American girl wanted to be a European princess. One could detect it in her gowns and gestures, for they all tried to dress as European ladies did and to imitate the manners of Parisian salons. But now, they come from the old world to see how we behave and decorate ourselves here in the United States. They stand on the decks of steamers, gloved hands gripping the guardrail, as they catch their first glimpse of Manhattan, that island of towering buildings and smothering secrets, brimming with its millions of lives celebrated or forgotten in almost equal measure. What a narrow strip of land, those sea voyagers inevitably remark in surprise as they begin to take in the new world, for so very much to happen upon. Of course, roughly as many ships go out of the harbor as come into it. Even those whose names are regularly cast in the smudgy glory of gossip columns and followed in every detail by an eager public must sometimes leave. How many top-drawer souls were entrusted to the hands of the Cunard Company, whose 12 o'clock steamer was already drawing resolutely away from land, en route from New York to France? The crowd on the worn wood planks of the dock was growing smaller, as was the city that cropped up behind it. A gentleman or lady leaning against the rail could not even make out the handkerchiefs waving at them anymore, although they knew that fine examples of embroidery were still being held aloft in the thick summer air. Did they regard their hometown with love or nostalgia or resentment? Were they glad to see it slip by, block by block? Or did they already miss its drawing rooms and shady clubs, the verdant park at its center, and the blocks of mansions lining its borders? There, those fine New Yorkers looking back at their city might think, if I followed that street, I would arrive at Mamie Fish's house. Or, I could take that one to where the William Shoemakers live, or to the Buck Mansion, or to any number of Astor Holdings. They might reflect, thinking of those landmarks, that it has always been a world that holds its children tight to its breast, or else sends them away to wander like exiles. What slights and embarrassments, what suffocating marriages and unforgivable deeds, what grand social missteps might the voyagers under that cloudless July sky be trying to escape? For any bright set of eyes gazing a last time at the island of their birth, there will be a certain glow of longing for what was left behind. But the anguish of leaving will dim with every passing second as the excitement of what they are yet to see grows. Especially for a girl who, say, has only recently come to understand what hearts are capable of, or where love and a healthy sense of curiosity can take her, or a fellow who has just experienced the thrill of truly cutting ties for the first time and of stepping out as his own man. After all, it takes only a few seasons to learn how everything changes and how quickly, to realize that the glorious and grotesque lives lived at the currently fashionable addresses will soon seem quaint and outdated. New York will always be there, but it grows stranger every day, and staying put will not make it stay the same. And in the end, it doesn't matter, because these eyes had to go, and the distance from shore has rapidly become too great to swim. There is no going back now. 1. With the younger Miss Holland, Diana, away in Paris for a finishing season, it is a most lonely social era, and we have all had to content ourselves with lesser beauties. There are those of us who remember those chocolate eyes and glossy curls and sulk in the corners at gatherings awaiting her return. From the Gamesome Gallant column in the New York Imperial, Friday, July 6th, 1900. In the mornings, she liked to walk along the seawall. She went by herself and usually only passed one or two gentlemen, canes ticking against the stone, for the locals preferred to stroll later in the day, after siesta. Lately, the weather had grown extreme, and there were occasions when the ocean would sweep over her path. At first, this frightened her, but by a humid Friday in early July, she had come to view it as a kind of baptism. The force of the sea, as she had written in her notebook the night before, just before falling asleep, stirred her and soothed her and made her feel reborn.